It's George Wolf, and welcome back to another episode of Woo is the New, a space we chat all things woo-woo and spirituality to help women and mothers awaken, evolve, and integrate into the new age. How are you feeling, my loves? I just wanted to check in and see how you're going. I know if you're here listening, you have been on this journey with me from episode one, and I know there's been a lot of information since then, so I just thought I would check in, because if it's information you haven't heard, or maybe you are having feelings you've never felt, or you could just be having a lot of light bulb moments. I remember when I, you know, would hear something new, I'd just be speechless. Like, I would almost go into being shell-shocked. It just spoke so deeply to my soul, but my logical mind really needed time to wrap my head around it. You know, those days I'd be walking around feeling like a complete and utter zombie. So I just want you to know that if you are feeling like that, I'm here for you. I totally know what you're going through. And, you know, it's the veil lifting, right? Which is so exciting, because that means you are moving closer and closer to finding your true self. Now, this episode is going to help you understand the essence of each zodiac archetype. The reason you may have never even considered to look into astrology until now is because a lot of the stuff we see on the internet and social media is either pop culture astrology or meme astrology. Now, pop culture astrology is usually talking about the unevolved traits of each sign, and meme astrology is essentially just taking the piss. Like, it is, it's memes. They're meant to be funny. I never saw the humor in them though. I actually used to get like quite defensive when I saw it, because, well, first I thought I was only a Gemini, and the Gemini traits aren't my entire traits. So I used to be like, that's totally not me. Like, I can't resonate with that. That's stupid. And the second one is that they always seem to throw shade at the lower vibrations of the sign, which, I mean, never makes anyone feel good. Why would you want to look into something if they are going to just tell you negative things about yourself? So this episode, I have once again called in my soul sister Brooke to help us learn each zodiac sign and what it actually means. Now, if you are listening and you have not yet listened to episode 4, I highly recommend you pause this one, jump over there, listen to that one, and then come back once you know your sun, moon, and rising signs. So, without further ado, please welcome star sorcerer and astrologist Brooke Croft. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm excited to be back.
Yeah, and we're here today with another Astrology 101 episode for you.
Very exciting.
I'm excited. So in our last episode, we learned our sun, moon, and rising signs and what they represent. Today, we are going to talk about each zodiac archetype. So when we look at our birth chart and see where each sign sits in our chart, we can step into the energy in the highest expression. That's essentially what we want to do in this lifetime, is evolve our souls so that we can have more evolved experiences and live life as our true authentic self. So before we get into all 12 zodiacs, let's chat about the 13th zodiac, because I have already had a few messages about it and wondering, is this going to change? Is this going to change our signs? Like, what is going on? So let's get your professional advice and opinion on this one, please, Brooke.
Yeah, it's not a thing, guys. So don't worry about it. Your zodiac definitely hasn't changed.
Okay.
The media tends to throw this out every few years. It's like they use it to debunk astrology, but no astrologer gives it any sort of credit or value. The astronomers' debate is that the constellations have shifted. And yes, they actually have shifted. But in Western astrology, we follow a different system, and it's called the tropical zodiac. And it's based off the Earth's seasons and Sabbats. And it follows the sun's ecliptic path, but it's from an Earth-based perspective. So Western astrology is not tied to the position of the constellations, because they move. The Western Zodiac doesn't move, it's static, and it's not affected by shifts in the Earth's axis. But the bottom line is astronomy and astrology are totally different, and the constellations, which includes Ophiuchus, I think Ophiuchus, whatever it's called. See, like, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Ridiculous, right? And yeah, they're totally different things. And just to put it into perspective, there are 88 constellations in our skies, and we clearly don't use all of them for astrology. So yeah, just go home, NASA. You don't even go here.
So all right. So we've heard it from a professional. We do not need to worry about this 13th zodiac. So we now know our sun, moon, and rising sign from our last episode. We are going to learn three more planets and what they represent. That is Mercury, Venus, and Mars. And they are our personal planets, which means they are a part of our personality and how we do things. So Brooke, what does our Mercury, Venus, and Mars represent?
Okay, so we'll start with Mercury. And Mercury is the planet of communication. It's about perception and it's how we receive information. It's sort of what goes in and what goes out. It's the conscious mind, so it's the logical and rational mind. And it's sort of the receiving and giving of information. And it's the need to establish connections with others and the need to learn and communicate and talk.
Okay, beautiful. So this planet is really good to know when your child is starting school or if they're in school and they're learning information.
Yes.
Do you have any examples of how that can be different for each child?
Yeah, definitely. So if a child has a Mercury in, say, Virgo, they're going to have a really analytical and systematic mind. And so they're going to learn really well in the education system most of the time. But if your child has a water Mercury, so say they have their Mercury in Cancer, then that's a child that really gets reached through feelings and emotion. So putting things in a really loving and nurturing and emotional way, because they sort of receive information through their heart a lot of the time.
Well, so good to know. All right, so let's go on to Venus. What does Venus represent?
Venus is the feminine principle, and it's how we give and receive love, and it's associated with our values, our self-worth, security, attraction, and it's very strongly linked with beauty and aesthetics, and it's sort of the need for union and blending and the need to feel confident harmony.
Cool. All right, so Venus is giving and receiving love pretty much on a basic level. Now, what does Mars represent?
So Mars is the masculine principle, and it's our action, our drive, our assertiveness. It's sort of that physical energy that we have, and it's strongly linked with our sexuality. And it's sort of the urge to survive and to act decisively.
So let's just quickly summarize our Mercury, Venus, and Mars so our listeners at home can have some keywords they can write down for each of these planets.
Yeah, so Mercury is communication, information. Venus is love and beauty, and Mars is motivation and action.
Okay, perfect. All right, so let's jump into learning about each zodiac so that we can look at our birth charts and we can see the energy that we are here to embody. When we understand the traits of our sun, moon, rising, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, it will help us reclaim our power and live life in our true essence. So let's start with our first zodiac, and that is Aries.
So Aries is the warrior, the pioneer, the survivor, and the daredevil. And Aries is bold, passionate, and has natural leadership. It's fiercely independent, fearless, and powerfully inspiring. Its energy is very adventurous, it's impatient, and always honest and direct. It's assertive, and it gravitates towards the center of action. There is basically nothing faint or half-hearted about an Aries. Its essence is just pure gladiatorial spirit.
Oh my goodness, I love that, because Pascal is an Aries rising.
Amazing.
And he is just, yeah, that just sums him up perfectly.
Yeah, beautiful.
All right, so our second zodiac is Taurus.
Taurus. So Taurus archetype is the earth spirit, the musician, the silent one, and the creator. And Taurus is really the alpha vessel of love, and it's very sensuous, it's calm, and it's grounded. Taurus longs for all things beautiful in possession and in experience. It's highly devoted and nurturing, and it's very protective. Taurus is dependable, and it's sort of gifted with strong perseverance. It's also a very physical sign. Its physical senses are heightened more than basically any other sign. It's stubborn, creative, and organic. And like the fertile earth, it sort of teaches us simplicity and tranquility.
Dan is a Taurus, and he grounds me so much. He's a Taurus sun. I feel like he's like my big 100-year-old tree.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And he just holds that essence about him. And I need that.
Everybody needs a Taurus in their life or a Taurus placement in their life. So my husband's a Taurus moon. And like they stabilize you and they bring you back down to earth. And you really need that.
Yeah. And I always, he's so present in the moment.
Yes.
And I always look at him and like, just in awe when he's like that, because he really reminds me of I have to do that, because obviously I've got, you know, I'm an air sign.
Yeah, so you really need his grounding.
Yeah, so I need his grounding. So beautiful. All right, so our third sign, which is Gemini.
So Gemini is the archetype of the trickster, the storyteller, and the teacher, and the comedian. Gemini is the sign of duality. So it wants variety, and that's its kryptonite, really. Gemini is inquisitive. They're the messenger of the zodiac. This sign is about communication, but it's also about how the world communicates with us. So it's brimful of energy. It's constantly in motion. It's multifaceted and versatile. It must expand its mind and clear perception, and it should never stop asking questions of the world. And Gemini must gather and share the information and observe it with curiosity.
So good. And yeah, well, I mean, we spoke about this in our first Astrology 101 series, because I'm a Gemini sun. So yeah, it definitely resonates so much with me. So let's go into our fourth zodiac, which is Cancer.
So Cancer is the archetype of the nurturer, the counselor, and the mother. And Cancer is intuitive, it's instinctual, and it's very nourishing. Like its ruler, the moon, it is greatly connected to the ocean tides. And like the ocean itself, Cancer may appear calm and reserved on the surface when, in fact, formidable forces are stirring underneath. The Cancerian shell is a shield to protect its deep emotions and extreme sensitivity. Cancer is very in tune with energy in the environment, and safety and security in the home means the most to them. Cancer understands external forces, but would prefer to infiltrate dimensions no other sign before it goes. It goes towards the deep self, and Cancer is imaginative, and it loves to be loved and needed. It speaks the language of emotion fluently.
So good. And I resonate so much with Cancer because I'm Cancer rising, and I also have a Cancer south node, which we will talk about in a totally another episode. But I feel that energy so much.
It's a really good to know, especially with your kids, if they have Cancer placements, because it is that very sensitive energy. So knowing that, it can allow you to be very mindful of everything.
And yeah, I always kind of choose comfort. As long as I'm feeling comfortable in a situation, I feel safe. But
comfort, security, you feel safe. It's exactly what you need.
Yeah, but I also know I need to step out of that.
Yeah, well, Gemini's like, I'm bored. Let's get out of here.
So, yes. Anyway, all right. So let's go to our fifth zodiac, which is Leo.
Leo. So Leo is the performer, the king, the queen, the child, and the protector. Leo is the source of energy for all life on earth, and Leo is the ruler of its kingdom, whatever kingdom that may be. Its energy is generous, it's creative, exuberant, dramatic, and magnetic. Leo is the celebration of the self, and it values the recognition for what it creates and shares. And Leo must really pour vision into form. So self-expression in all its form is a huge part of this sign. And Leo is the most royal sign in the zodiac, and it has a really think big attitude. Leo are also, they're what we call eternal children in astrology, because its energy is very playful and it seeks joy in the moment. The word ego gets thrown around with Leo all the time. People think that Leos have this really big narcissistic energy. But for Leo, it's not about transcending the energy like most spiritual practices suggest that we should do. It's really about the development and the evolvement of ego.
Yeah. And yeah, you're a Leo. You're a double Leo.
I'm a double Leo. Leo sun, Leo rising. You're a Leo stellium. So that's probably why we get along.
And it is. It's
an in-your-face energy, Leo, but Leos are fantastic. Like, it's really hard to not like a Leo. Like, they have behavior sometimes that is questionable, but they're hard not to like because they're fun.
And so I have my Leo in Mars and in my Venus. So what does that mean? Like,
so having, for instance, let's use your Venus. So having your Venus in Leo makes you really playful, and you love a grand kind of love, like sort of like a movie kind of love. You can be a little bossy maybe, but you're fun and you're exuberant to be around. And Leo loves love because Leo is associated with the heart. So it's a really great position for Venus to be. And to have your Leo in Mars means, like I said, you're extremely playful and you're ambitious and mm-hmm. you're going to express yourself creatively with a lot of drive. Mm-hmm. So it's very positive placement to have as well. But Leo in Mars is also quite a sexual placement because Leo is, yeah, like I said, it's curious, it's playful, so it mm-hmm. likes to have fun.
Yeah, and that's so cool because, yeah, I think I denied this aspect of myself for a really long time. And, yeah, through, you know, being sensual and sexual and all of those things, I just definitely suppressed, especially when I became a mom. Mm. And then when I found out about this, I was like, hang on, I need to step into this power.
Gotta get into this Leo.
Yeah, I need to harness this energy. And I'm actually now using it, you know, for my work and my purpose. Mm. So it's so...
Especially with dance, everything you yeah. do. Dance, having Leo, it's just so amazing. Because having Leo in Mars and Venus, and like they're really associated because, well, Mars is your physical energy and mm-hmm. Venus is aesthetics and beauty. Mm-hmm. And you're putting them all together with Leo. So it's this very performative, dramatic and creative quality that you mm-hmm. have. And that's why you're so good at dance and creating all that stuff in your mm-hmm. life.
Yeah, so cool. So cool to know. All right, so let's get on to our sixth zodiac. Oh, gosh. Virgo.
Oh, Virgo, I love you.
Oh, my Virgo.
So Virgo is the archetype of the analyst, the healer, and the perfectionist, and also the servant. Virgo is on a continual quest for wisdom, but it's not content unless it's applying this wisdom to practical use. It's not focused on being center stage, and it's quite content when just being of use to others. Virgo has come here to basically purify itself on the earth plane. It's known for its high intelligence, clear thinking, and its analytical mind. Virgo is like a human lie detector with exceptional memory. It has microscopic vision when sizing up any situation, and it can identify a fault, then use its rational thinking to dissect and resolve it. And Virgo is a very critical, hardworking, holistic, and a mindful sign. They're sort of extremely self-sacrificing, and I always call them the Zodiac's Earth Angel.
Mm, so cool. And I am working on that. I'm working to evolve my soul to that because I think...
Girl, you're the earth angel. It's
yeah,
fine.
I think there is some unevolved aspects of myself and I know it's an area that I do need to work on. And I think that's why I give my Virgo moon so much... so much shit.
Poor darling.
Yeah, but, you know, I notice it so much when I'm out of control, find myself cleaning and, yeah. like, you know... fixing and straightening things. So like, you know, I've had to really relax into my Virgo moon and harness the higher, you know, yeah. higher expression. I love my Virgo moon, but yeah, she's definitely
when
needs
she gets
some
out of control. Yeah, you just got to pull it back in.
Yeah. All right, so let's go with our seventh zodiac, which is Libra.
Awesome. So Libra is the archetype of the lover, the artist, the peacemaker, and the lawyer. Liking a Libra can be as natural as breathing because Libra has a special skill set when it comes to people. They are the peacemaker of the zodiac, and Libra represents balance, equilibrium, and justice. Libra's inner harmony comes from union with another, and it really learns a lot about itself through the context of relationships. Libra possesses incredible taste and has an eye for anything artistic, so beauty, design, and fashion. It intuitively knows that every opinion and truth is balanced by an equal and opposite truth. So Libra isn't rigid and is happy to accept the world for all of its paradoxes and opposing views. For Libra, there is basically no light without dark, no right without wrong, and no life without death. Balance always.
Oh, so I love this so much because I've never really known a Libra. I've never really had a Libra in my life until Daphne came.
Yeah.
And she is my little Libra son.
Yeah,
and
my daughter's a Libra too.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's in her 11th house.
People, I love you.
People.
Let's love each other and create peace and harmony.
Yeah, fully. And I just love it because she's already like that. Yeah. So beautiful to see. So yeah, I loved when I learned about Libra and I could start seeing those qualities in little Daffy. So let's go to our eighth zodiac, which is our Scorpio.
Scorpio. So Scorpio is the archetype of the detective, the sorcerer, the hypnotist, and the psychiatrist. And Scorpio is deep like the sea. They sense undercurrents in people that others cannot. Its energy is passionate, intense, profoundly intuitive, investigative, and they have great willpower. It has a very penetrative mind that dives through the surface of basically everything. The Scorpio energy is about dabbling in the very things that scare you, facing the mysteries of the universe. And while all this is roiling underneath, Scorpio might appear really calm, relaxed, and at ease. Scorpio might hide its emotions, but the phrase, still waters run deep, is very true for this sign. Scorpio just lives on numerous levels.
So good. Yeah, my bestie's a Scorpio and
everyone needs a Scorpio.
Yeah, I love it. And I think, like you said, it can get misrepresented sometimes.
So misrepresented.
Yeah, but it's such a beautiful and deep
sign.
And I love the deep conversations that we can have.
Every Scorpio, you just find you are having the deepest conversations and you're not afraid to have those conversations with that person because they're very comfortable with them. So it's so nice.
Yeah, I love it. All right, so let's go into our ninth zodiac, which is Sagittarius.
Saggy. So Saggy is the philosopher, the student, the gypsy, and the explorer. And Sagittarius is freedom-loving, it's cheerful, expansive, and optimistic. Sagittarius is the sign of higher learning, philosophy, and exploration. It loves to dive into new ideas and discover broader concepts. Its energy is laced with wanderlust, and it's always chasing excitement and adventure. There is an extreme thirst for knowledge with this sign. This allows Sagittarius to grow continuously. Sag is the truth sayer, and it is always honest and frank. It never wants to offend. It just desires the truth. And it loves to experience all the different facets to life. So cultures, people, or ideologies. It's very ethical, confident, and always sees the bigger picture.
Ah, so good. And I, once again, didn't have, you know, I don't have Sagittarius in my...
Yeah, I actually have no Sagittarius either.
Yeah, but I have... Dan is a Saggy moon. Yeah. Paz is a Saggy sun. Oh. And... Daphne.
That's a lot of fun family, isn't
and,
it?
Oh, Daphne. Yeah, Daph's a Saggy rising. And so it's so
and
much.
Isn't it beautiful that you were gifted all those Sagittarius and you don't have any? So they're teaching you adventure and exploration.
Yeah, which is great for me because sometimes I'm not the most spontaneous person.
Yeah, your Virgo would be like, what is this?
Like, I love to be spontaneous if it's organized. Yeah. But like seriously, I'm like, I'm totally down for a road trip if I can
plan schedule
it.
Everything.
So they like really bring out the
I actually, can I share a story about you? I loved, I think this was last year sometime, and you were talking about going camping and you did like a rehearsal camping in the backyard before you even went camping. And I was like, dude, that's not normal. People go camping.
Oh my God, I totally did.
Like, I'm going to rehearse it, the whole event before we do it. I'm like, wow, so Virgo moon.
Oh my gosh, it's a real thing. I did it. We set the camper van up in the backyard so that I knew how to set it up and the like where the beds would go and that the kids felt comfortable. But it was really so that I could feel comfortable.
I just can't handle this. This is just the most Virgo thing I've
ever
heard.
My Virgo moon is so strong and I'm like trying to like tame her, but like, yeah, she's wild.
This is amazing.
But yes, fun facts there. Thanks for exposing that one.
Sorry.
Okay, all right, so let's get to our 10th zodiac, which is Capricorn.
Yes, Capricorn is the hermit, the father, the old soul, and the entrepreneur. Capricorn is about responsibility on the earth plane and responsibility for who you are. An aura of duty and obligation surround Capricorn. It is ambitious and determined, and if success isn't imminent, then Capricorn has the patience to go the distance. Capricorn uses strategy instead of force. It's quick to seize opportunity, and it's also very disciplined in nature. It seeks security and is defined by integrity, honor, and respect. It has a conscious sense of social responsibility that usually makes it achieve great things. It's practical, structured, mature, and self-reliant.
Because I think Capricorn can often just be like the hard worker, do anything to get to where they need to be, but it's definitely not that, is it?
Yeah, it's probably important to share this about Capricorn because everybody seems to think, and I always had a lot of trouble with Capricorn when I was first learning astrology because every Capricorn I know wasn't like the definitions that I was getting. And basically Capricorn is on a mission in this life. And for them, that mission could be being a stay-at-home mom. It could be carving a more sustainable life for themselves. It could mm-hmm. be climbing the corporate ladder. But whatever it is, Capricorn wants to reach the top of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it doesn't have to be this real, like, concrete jungle. I'm working, doing a 50-hour mm-hmm. week sort of thing. Like, Capricorn is just on a mission. And whatever the mission, they'll strive to get there.
And so good, because I'm trying to harness my Capricorn energy because it's in my North Node. Yes. Once again, we'll talk about this in a totally another episode. So let's quickly, there's another, the totem, is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah, so... the traditional totem for Capricorn is the goat, but the very old ancient mm-hmm. totem is the goat with the fish's tail. So really Capricorn has one foot in the spiritual realm and in the material realm, so it can sort of dance between them. So I know a lot of extremely spiritual and connected Capricorns, and I think it really comes back to that totem. They can dance in both sides of life.
Beautiful. All right, so let's get to our 11th zodiac, which is Aquarius.
Aquarius. So Aquarius is the revolutionary, the genius, the outlaw, and the eccentric. And Aquarius cares about the welfare of the world, fundamentally. It's inventive, visionary, original, progressive, and analytical. Aquarius is a very social sign. It really wants to find its people. This means it loves to be amongst the collective and making a positive difference. It is sort of always pushing forward, and it is very futuristic in nature. Aquarius can be odd, different, and unusual. Its energy isn't like everybody else, and it's not supposed to be, which is the good news for Aquarius. Mm-hmm. Freedom for Aquarius is a vital liberation that should not be denied. This sign is geared towards intellect, knowledge, and communication. It wants to be able to see things on a quantum and scientific level. Aquarius has a higher vibration than the everyday understanding of things. Like Sag, it wants truth at all costs. And Aquarius is really free thinking, idealistic, and it's easygoing.
Because you're an Aquarius moon.
Yeah, a little funky Aquarius moon.
Yeah.
People don't, because it's my moon sign, people really see me as Leo. Mm-hmm. But I think people that know mm-hmm. me as Aquarius, because, like, you know, I'm a bit of a weirdo.
I dabble in
the weird. Yeah.
it's so interesting because, yeah, I see you as an Aquarius, yeah. Whereas I know people who don't know you, but
see me Leo.
See you as a Leo.
I resonate actually more with my Aquarius than my Leo, because I guess it's that inner instinctual part of myself. Mm-hmm. And most people, like my husband, sees me as more Aquarius.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just funny because people are like, oh, you're an Aquarius moon. I would have never thought. I'm like, girl, you don't know me. I'm weird as shit.
Oh, I love it. All right, let's go to our last zodiac, which is Pisces.
Pisces. So Pisces is the mystic, the dreamer, the poet, and the visionary. And Pisces swim deep in the waters of emotion. It's the last sign of the zodiac, and it's really the end of the cycle. Pisces is the old soul. It has one foot in both the spiritual and physical realms. Because of this, Pisces never feels really truly home in this world. It has a gift of prophecy, and its imagination is otherworldly. Pisces is a very boundaryless energy. It's kind of viral and addictive. It knows there is no disconnection from anything. You are everything, we are everyone, and ultimately we really come from the same source. This extreme sensitivity that Pisces has can be its most vulnerable point. It has so much compassion, sometimes too much, and it has to learn boundaries. This sign can be sort of out of touch with reality when it's off kilter, but Pisces is extremely caring. They're so sensitive. They're artistic, creative, psychic, and empathic.
Daffy's a Pisces moon.
Yeah, very sensitive placement.
Yeah, so it's something that I've had to be really aware of, because it's something that I've never really had to deal with. I mean, Winslow and Pascal are both Virgo moons, and different houses, but you know, I understand them and their structure. Yes. But then I've got Daphne, who is like, structure is not a thing. She doesn't she's not emotionally fulfilled with structure.
Yeah,
so,
like I said, it's that boundaryless energy.
Yeah, and so it's something that I've had to really learn and, you know, nurture.
Pisces just loves love and affection. Mm-hmm. They just love to be loved. It's such a beautiful sign. They just have so much compassion.
Yeah, and her moon is in her fourth house, so family.
Oh, mummy.
Yeah.
Mommy,
so she's,
daddy, family.
Yeah. So she's, you know, she's got such a sensitive soul underneath everything. And then,
so connected to you guys. Yeah. She'll always come back to you.
Yeah. So beautiful. So now that we have gone through each sign, you can go look at your chart, but you can also understand your family and friends' chart. So you can understand their emotional needs by looking at their moon placement. You can understand how they give and receive love by looking at their Venus placement. placement. And you can also look at how they learn and retain information, looking at their Mercury. I mean, there's so much now that you can look at. But what I'll do is I'm going to leave some timestamps for each sign in the description below so that it's easy for you to come back and revisit this episode at any time. All right. Well, thank you again for being on Woo is a New podcast, Brooke.
It's my pleasure. I absolutely love being here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to continue our Astrology 101 series. There is so much information that we can get through astrology and reading our birth charts. But once again, if you do feel like you need some help understanding your birth chart or your child's birth chart or your husband's birth chart, Brooke, let us know how we can find and connect with you.
Yes, so you can find me at my Instagram, which is Moth to the Moon, and my website is www.mothtothemoon.com, and you'll find all my chart readings available on there. And if you have any questions about anything, just flick me an email. I have a wait list at the moment, so if you want to go on that, just flick me an email as well.
Mm-hmm, perfect. We hope this episode has helped you understand the true essence and traits of the zodiac archetypes. We hope you feel empowered to step into the energy that you chose to embody this lifetime and live life as your amazingly authentic self. Like always, come connect with me on my personal page at George Wolf and follow along the podcast Instagram at Woo is the New. I am sending you so much love. Until next week, bye.